So I want to apologize ahead of time. Suddenly I'm not feeling very well. So this will be a little bit shorter than I anticipated. We're in chapter 4 of Revelation. Chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation go together. I'm preaching chapter 4 this morning, and Kathy will be dealing with chapter 5 next week. But they actually go together. Starts off, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. A little misleading. He says, behold, look, before me there's a door standing open in heaven. And oftentimes when we hear that, heaven, we think of some place far and away in the sky and so on. But that's not what John is getting at. What he's saying here is that right here, right next to me, there's a door into heaven. Heaven is a part of reality. It's a part of reality that we don't normally see. And what he's saying is that there's a door been opened to see what's going on right here and right now. Not sometime off in the future, but right here and right now. And then he said, the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, that's from a couple chapters earlier, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Remember, John is not talking chronology, he's talking chirology. The opportune moment is here for you to be aware of what God is doing in the midst of the world right now. One of the major themes of Revelation is things are not what they appear to be. And so he's saying God is giving us a glimpse into the reality of heaven and what is happening right now in our midst. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. So we come to learn who that someone is. It's God. It's the majestic God who's sitting on the throne. It's not Domitian, the Caesar, who's sitting on the throne. He may seem like he's in charge, but in reality, God sits on the throne. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. So he looked like that. Those are precious stones. How does one who's sitting on the throne look like a stone? That's not his point, that he looks like a stone. His point is that it's majestic and beautiful. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Actually, it says became from behind the throne. So here you have this rainbow, which is to call to memory the rainbow of Genesis and God's mercy and grace toward his people. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. So you've got one major throne, you've got 24 other thrones surrounding this throne. And seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Who are those 24 elders? Lots of different speculation. I think the one that makes the most sense is those 24 thrones and elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus, the people of God. And from the throne, so we've got behind the throne, on the throne, surrounding the throne, and now from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. That's to call to mind the events of Sinai when God reveals himself to Moses and the people. And before the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God. In other words, God's spirit in all his perfection is there. And before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass clear as crystal. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in Southern California, and so the sea was a wonderful thing. In the Bible, the sea is not a wonderful thing. The sea is the source of chaos and evil. So here, even in heaven, there's this crystal glass sea that the one who sits on the throne has control over, even though it's evil. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under the wings. Day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and worship him who sits on the throne. They worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being." So what John describes is a worship service that's already in progress. And in fact, it's in progress forever and ever. When we come into this place on Sunday mornings, and we try and corral you from the atrium to come on in here, and when we have a song of gathering, and when we sing songs together, and when we pray, we are joining a worship service that is already in progress right now, just on the other side of the door. And we're invited to be a part of that. We're invited to be like those elders and throw our crowns at his feet and give him the glory that's due his name. I think we trivialize what worship is because we make it about our enjoyment of something. Somehow, we need to get a picture that things are not exactly what they seem and that we're invited to be a part of an eternal worship service that gives God glory, all the glory that's due his name. Father, I ask that you would help us to see that today and live with that today. In Jesus' name, amen.